Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener-supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Raw Deal, right here on Revolution Radio, this 22nd day of April 2024, about to be joined by Joaquin Agobian, West Point graduate, who's an expert on military affairs, international developments, including, of course, in the Middle East. He's also perhaps the world's leading expert on pedophilia, child trafficking, with a five-volume set of books exposing the corruption, grotesque. He sought to join me momentarily, but we had difficulty, so he's going to call back again and I'll get him on. Meanwhile, the mainstream media has finally admitted the Russian war of attrition is winning the conflict in Ukraine. Here we have a report from the Gateway Pundit. There was never much doubt that in a military confrontation between Russia and Ukraine, those whom President Trump called a war machine, the Russians, would prevail. Sure enough, once an unprecedented alliance of Western powers sent countless billions in money and military aid, the calculations had to be remade. But it soon became apparent that while this help would considerably delay the outcome, it would not fundamentally change it. While the mainstream media spent two full years lying and engaging in wishful thinking disguised as analysis, they now have to give in to the reality of facts as Russian troops ramp up pressure on the outgunned and outmaneuvered Ukrainian forces. Moscow is reportedly preparing to conquer more territory as soon as the muddy tundra fields dry out and allow tanks, armored vehicles, and other heavy equipment to roll to key positions across the countryside. The Associated Press has reported, Russia has increasingly used satellite-guided bombs, which allow planes to drop them from a safe distance, to pummel Ukrainian forces beset by a shortage of troops and ammunition. Despite Moscow's advantage in firepower and personnel, a massive ground offensive would be risky and, Russian military blogger and other experts say, unnecessary. If Russia can stick to smaller attacks across the front line to further drain the Ukrainian military, it's potentially a slippery slope where you get like a death by a thousand cuts or essentially death by a thousand localized offensive. Michael Kaufman, a military expert with a Carnegie Endowment, said in a recent podcast to describe the Russian tactic. If the Russians stick to their multiple pushes across the front, he said, eventually they find more and more open terrain. A much-hyped Ukrainian counteroffensive was doomed from the start, as the advancing units got trapped on vast Russian minefields and massacred by artillery and drones whenever breaching the monumental Russian defense lines. The Russians, the AP report acknowledges, have no reason to make that same mistake. Since warfare has changed and the ISR capabilities both sides now have mean there's no such thing as a surprise attack anymore. However, the expected Ukrainian defense I'm having trouble getting Joaquin in here. The expected Ukrainian defense trenches, fortification, and bunkers that should be built behind the 600-mile-long front line have not been completed to content. Construction work moves slowly, leaving vast areas unprotected. After capturing the Ukrainian stronghold of Udvarka, Russian troops are zeroing in on the hill town of Chasiv-Yar, which would allow them to move around Slovensky and Kramatorsk, key cities in the Kiev-controlled part of the Donetsk region in eastern Ukraine. As a first priority, Russia meant to conquer the rest of the Donetsk Oblast, as Ukraine just doesn't have the firepower or the manpower to repel the Russian attacks. General Christopher Cavoli, U.S. European Command, sounded the alarm before Congress last week, warning that Ukraine will be outgunned 110-1 by Russia in a matter of weeks if Congress does not approve more military aid. Russian President Vladimir Putin has vowed to establish a buffer zone to protect Russian border regions from Ukrainian shelling and incursions. Besides, the push across Donetsk, Moscow could also conquer Ukraine's second largest city of Kharkov with 1.1 million inhabitants. Russia has ramped up strikes on power plants in the northern area, inflicting significant damage and causing blackouts. Military Russian forces could alternatively envelop and blockade it. Meanwhile, IUS officials like CIA Director William Burns are warning that Ukraine could lose the war against Russia by the end of the year. Many of us, of course, believe it's already been lost. CNN reported just a month ago, Burns had warned in testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee that if Congress did not move to authorize additional support, long hampered by conservative opposition in the House of Representatives, Ukraine is likely to lose ground and probably significant in 2024. Yesterday, this was the 18th, during the appearance of the George W. Bush Center, Burns warned that Ukraine could be forced to capitulate entirely. With a boost that would come from military assistance, both politically, practically, and psychologically, I think the Ukrainians are entirely capable of holding their own through 2024, Burns said. Without supplemental assistance, the picture is a lot more dire, he continued. There's a very real risk Ukrainians could lose on the battlefield by the end of 2024, or at least put Putin in a position where he could dictate the terms of a political settlement. In my opinion, he's already there. Let's hear what Scott Ritter has to say.
We believe that Ukrainians are surrendering in this conflict, in this war. And the level of surrendering happening right now is unbelievable because it's not comparable to anything that we've seen so far. How do you see the conflict right now in Ukraine?
Ukrainians are in a state of collapse. I've been talking some time now about correlation of forces. I've talked about military math, what happens when one side consumes resources at a far greater rate than they can be replenished. The other side is accumulating resources far greater than they can be diminished. Then eventually the side that accumulates the most resources will have a decisive advantage and you will see collapse on the battlefield. We're seeing collapse across the battlefield right now. The Ukrainians literally have nothing left. There's no brigades left to throw in. There's no air defense. There's no artillery. The one thing they have is they've massively produced these FPV, first-person view drones. And so they're throwing those into the battlefield, saturating the area. These are very dangerous, lethal weapons. And so, they are causing the Russians some headaches from that. But other than that, they've got nothing left. And Russia's figuring it out. Russia's blowing up drone production facilities. Russia's learning how the drones communicate, and then they're going to blow up the operators, and they're going to nullify that and just keep rolling. There's nothing Ukraine can do to stop this. This is why Ukraine is so desperate for NATO intervention. This is why Ukraine is attacking the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant in an effort to get the international community to intervene on its behalf to forestall a regional and global nuclear catastrophe. But there's nothing the Ukrainians can do to reverse this. This is happening. You know, the Russians don't normally commit to a timeline. They're very driven by objectives. They'll let the objective define the timeline, not a calendar. But for the first time, you're starting to hear Russian political leaders, Russian military leaders, people in the know, speak of, you know, a collapse by the end of this summer, early fall, that Ukraine will not, that this war will not continue out of 2024. And for Russians to be saying this means that, you know, they've made a decision that that is going to be what they're fighting for, looking forward to accomplishing. So I think we have to take that seriously. I think this collapse that's taking place is the final stage of the death of Ukraine. And the tragedy is they could have avoided this had they accepted the terms of the Istanbul communique. They could stop this at any time, but Zelensky still talks about, you know, making Russia surrender. He talks about, you know, having a peace conference hosted in Switzerland where apparently they're going to compel the Russians into surrendering. totally unrealistic things like that.
Do you think how in the West they're perceiving this condition on the battlefield? Because it seems to me that still in the mainstream media, they're not showing the real picture of what's going on in Ukraine. And when we see Azov battalion just getting out of this conflict, is not willing to continue this, you see these people are the far right part of army, Ukrainian army. If they're not willing to fight with Russia, and how they can convince the other part of the Ukrainian soldiers to be part of this conflict, to be part of this war?
When I was traveling in Russia earlier this year, I was told by the Russians that, 1,500 Russian men were volunteering per day to serve in the special military operation. The Russian government came out and said that, because not everybody that volunteers qualifies. So, but they said that they're absorbing 30 to 40,000 new Russian troops every month, equipping them, sending them off to training. Arestovich, Zelensky's former advisor, recently gave a talk, and he said that in Moscow today, throughout Russia, the system is overwhelmed with men in their 40s who are going to the hospitals to cure chronic conditions, basically to make themselves medically qualified to serve in the army. 40-year-old men are going out of the way so that they can serve in the army on the front lines. Why? Military service in Russia right now is considered patriotic duty. We're at a stage right now, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Patton, great movie, but you know, George C. Scott in the role of Patton, during his famous introductory speech, he said, you know, what are you going to tell your grandkids when they say, what did you do in the Great War? You know, are you going to be shoveling shit in Louisiana? Or are you going to be on the front lines? And I think right now the Russian public has embraced this this war, the righteousness of this war. This is one of these defining conflicts. In the West, we don't respect that. We don't understand what's happening. I said the same thing when I was there earlier last year during the Victory Day celebration. The genuine outpouring of real, visceral, patriotic fervor, not fake stuff, not you know what we do here in the United States, genuine patriotic fervor where people are sobbing because of the emotions that are driven by this. It's real in Russia. It's visceral. You have to see it to believe it. that's taking place in Russia right now. In Ukraine.
Well, I'm very pleased I have Joaquin Agopian with me here now. Joaquin, he was mentioning Patton. I thought the most important part of what Patton said at that occasion was, you're not here to die for your country, to make the other guy die for his country. The Russians are doing that with Ukraine. I think they've been decimated, over 500,000 deaths by the best estimate. I see no remote prospect, and yet we're still getting nonsensical claims about sending more money to Ukraine. I have a profoundly disturbing report that Trump even induced Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, to go forward by sending all that money to Ukraine, in which case my confidence in the guy is severely shaken. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I've been pretty disappointed in Trump for the last couple of years, actually. He never had to leave the White House. He knew, and the country would have supported him. They had the evidence, and he took the fall and went out, you know. So, yeah, and his alliance with Israel, he's owned and controlled like all the rest of them. They all are owned and controlled by Israel and the founders of Israel, which is the Rothschild banking dynasty. And Mike Johnson, he's no different from the Kevin guy before him. And, you know, I mean, it goes on and on. I'm so sick of the politics, you know, because it's no longer a politics or a nation game. It's an international game of globalists controlling all the puppets. That's the reality. We can't even speak really in terms of countries anymore because they're all controlled. So, yeah, it's a sad, sad situation. $61 billion to Ukraine now, and another 26 or 7, something like that, to Israel, another 8 to Taiwan. On and on we go. This three war front, World War III, it's on the way. There's nobody talking peace, no one talking sense. Everybody's insane following their master's orders, which is basically the bloodline Rothschild banking cartel, Rothschilds and Rockefellers and the royal families. They're pulling the strings of all the puppets in the government. Same old story that's always been going on. I don't see any positive signs anywhere, really, except maybe the people rising up because they know that all these crimes are being committed.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm going to find the story and elaborate. Meanwhile, my dear colleague, Kevin Barrett, thinks that Israel may have been checkmated in Gaza. Or again, Scott Ritter argues that Iran demonstrated on April 13th that it can penetrate U.S. and Israeli air defenses using swarms of drones, paving the way for showers of ballistic missiles. Most are cheap decoys designed to unlock the door to the Iron Dome so the real weapons can get through. Iran's retaliatory strikes scored direct missile hits on two heavily defended Negev bases using missiles with either very small warheads or no warheads at all. The goal was to deliver not death and destruction, but the message: Iran now has the ability to level Israel and destroy U.S. ships and bases in the region. Henceforth, no further actions like the murderous Israeli attack on the Iranian consulate in Damascus will be tolerated. And by implication, Iran will not permit Israel to complete its genocide of Palestine. Your thoughts about those reports, Joaquin?
Well, you know, I agree with Scott Ritter as far as the assessment of Iran when it, on the 12th around, you know, the weekend passed before this last one. Yeah, I think they have the capability to penetrate that Iron Dome all right. It was a precision military target, only. They went after two bases in the Negev Desert in southern Israel, or is it northern Israel, and then they went targeted an intelligence base. And my understanding is they were able to, with missiles, penetrate and do some damage. I know that the runway on one of the airstrips was all messed up, and they had to try and hurry up and get that repaired. So, yeah, it was just basically to send a message to Israel that you are not impervious to our weaponry that can penetrate your defense. It was a strategic move just to send the message. They did not go after any civilian population. They were very careful about that. It was really a precision strike. And of course, you know, Israel and the U.S., they always lie and say, oh, 99% of all of them were taken out, intercepted, nothing worked, you know. We are impenetrable, you know. I mean, it's all BS from the West, you know. They always lie. So, yeah, I mean, I think they sent the message that Israel needed. Because you'll notice, what, a couple of days ago, what, they sent three drones or something to an air base in Infohan, Iran. I think it was in southern Iran. Three drones that were easily intercepted by Iran. That was supposedly the response, you know, and all those ministers of the war cabinet of Netanyahu, they were saying, oh, we got to go after them. And I think the national security minister wrote on his ex, he wrote, lame, like Israel was just impotent in its response. So they did that for a reason, Israel did, because they don't want to start anything they can't finish. And I think that's the message. It was a very wimpy kind of response just to say, well, we responded. We followed through on what we said. But it was like three drones taken out, intercepted quickly by Iran. So I think temporarily anyway, I think they're both backing off. I don't think they're driving forward for World War III, fortunately.
Yeah, there have been rumors that Iran had picked up a couple of nukes. If they had, it would have been from North Korea, which I've actually thought would be very desirable to usher in an era of stability in the Middle East like that, which obtained for 40 years post-World War II, when both the United States and the Soviet Union recognized that if one were to attack the other, they'd both be annihilated. I've wanted Iran to do that forever. But it appears they have achieved the equivalent by means of their hypersonic missiles, all seven of which penetrated the defenses, whereas everything else was shot down by the combined effort of Israel, the U.S., the U.K., France, even Jordan participated.
I was disappointed. Saudi Arabia and Jordan, you know? I mean, what's up? Are they traitors or what? You know? I know they've been in bed with the West forever, but come on. I thought there was a consolidated, unified Arab world, Muslim world, finally, you know? But anyway, so that was a slight disappointment there when they joined to intercept some of the missiles. But yeah, I mean, I think that it's quieted down. We are relieved. And Israel, I think, got the message. I don't think they're going to be messing with Iran. And those hypersonics, they work, yes.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And Iran has a lot of them. Here's the article, Joaquin, that I think is going to permanently impact my attitude toward Trump. Trump sold out his base to shovel $95 billion to Ukraine and Israel. Mike Whitney, Oons.com, April 21st. Begins with a quote from Marjorie Taylor Greene, whom I greatly admire. America last, America last. That's all this is, America last every single time. Here's what Whitney writes. The man who is most responsible for the $95 billion giveaway to Ukraine and Israel is the same guy who pretends to oppose America's wasteful foreign wars, Donald Trump. It was Trump who consulted with Speaker Mike Johnson about the contents of the Ukraine aid package, just as it was Trump who concocted the idea of issuing loans instead of dispersing the standard welfare handout. It was also Trump who said, I stand with Speaker Mike Johnson, after which he added, Johnson is doing a very good job. Whitney says, a good job? So secretly collaborating with the Democrat leadership, but just push through a bill that reauthorizes FISA to spy on the American people without a warrant, bans TikTok, fully fund Biden's Department of Justice that's indicted Trump 91 times, giving Biden political Gestapo a brand new FBI building bigger than the Pentagon, while not providing a dime to protect the southern border and the swarms of people entering the country illegally, is doing a good job? I'm appalled, Joaquin. I'm appalled.
Yeah. He's been a very big disappointment. Well, I said a long time ago he was controlled opposition. I really don't believe that there's anybody that can rise up to a level of power where they are a viable candidate of the two-party system without being totally bought and sold. All of them are. And, of course, even Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is a disappointment. Look how he bows down to Israel as well. I mean, they participated in killing his uncle. And he's just completely...
Actually, his father, Israel, had a bigger role in taking out his father than he did his uncle. Joaquin will be right back after this break.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Joaquin, I got to say, I mean, this is practically giving me a heart attack. I've had a heart attack. I mean, listen to this. The question we should all be asking ourselves is, why has Trump decided to participate in this scam? He keeps saying that if he were president, he'd end the war in Ukraine in a day, if he's sincere about that. And why did he collaborate on a bill that will drag the war out for another year or two? This is from a Twitter post by political analyst Michael Tracy. Mission accomplished. It is done. Donald Trump and the House GOP just completed one of the most epic swindles in political history, with Trump personally effectuating the largest ever disbursement of Ukraine funding through his emissary, Mega Mike Johnson, as Trump lovingly calls him. The $61 billion passed this afternoon is likely enough to underwrite the brutal, pointless trench warfare for at least another year or two. This after the same old endless media screeching that Trump and MAGA Republicans were being brainwashed by Putin and would never fund Ukraine. That fundamental hoax continues, only this time Trump was in on it. Joaquin, honest to God, I believed in this guy. This is a major sellout. I am floored.
Yeah. Well, I saw it coming. He's controlled opposition. He goes along with what Israel wants, you know. I don't believe in him. You know, look at how he did with the whole kill shot. He will never admit he did wrong on that one. He's done too many mistakes that again, anybody that rises up and is a candidate in the two-party duopoly system that's totally sold and bought by the controllers, they're all traitors, all of them, including the whole Congress that just allocated all those funds to all the wars. They're all traitors. They're not doing right by the people. Look at the open border. Look what's still open and millions of them coming in. They're overloading the system to destroy the United States. You know, Obama was the guy that first came along as the Manchurian candidate that was going to be the traitor that brings America down. And he elected the vice president, and then they stole the election. And they got Biden, who's just a total puppet, can't even put together a word sentence. And, you know, so it's just going down the drain. But, yeah, America is going, gone. It's very pathetic and very tragic.
I cannot begin to tell you how much this hurts. On my show on RBN, even as recently as yesterday, I had a caller. I think his name is Rick from Arizona, saying how all the bill had suddenly passed and Mike Johnson reversed his position after a meeting with Trump. And I said, well, I know how you love to needle Trump, but, you know, I was dismissing it on the ground that Trump is anti-war. He's a non-interventionist. This just pulls a rug out from under my feet and those, I think, of most Trump supporters, Joaquin. We are going to be totally dismayed, disillusioned. Here's another report about it from Luca Cabrillo commenting on that last comment I made from Michael Tracy. Michael, you're 100% spot on. Trump could have at any point killed this monstrous bill if he wanted to, but he didn't. Even let Mega Mike go on TV and say he and Trump are 100% agreed on the Ukraine funding. Trump screwed his base on this one. No other way around it. Michael Tracy again. He didn't just not kill it. He personally facilitated its passage. Joaquin! Damn! I mean, this is like ripping my heart out, tell you the truth. I've invested so much belief in this man, Donald J. Trump. A betrayal of this magnitude is very tough to take.
Yeah, I kind of went through that a few years ago, and I kind of believed in him. But no, I'm too, it's just very sad what's happened to America and the politics. And I just don't see any, it has to be a revolution by the people in noncompliance, mass noncompliance. That's the only way out. I don't see, like, you know, a lot of the influencers on the alt news, they always are saying, well, the White Hats, Trump, and, you know, and I can't believe in any of them. I think it's all Operation Trust from the Bolshevik Revolution. You know, they're just trying to pacify the people so that they're not active in opposing the status quo evil that's taking hold of America.
Well, I even wonder whether he's then opposed to the massive border. I mean, he said he'd run the biggest deportation program in American history. Can we even believe that, Joaquin? Is he that much of a traitor? Is he that much of a hypocrite? Is he that much of a phony and a fraud?
You know, I hate to say it, but I think, you know, he is sold out. I don't see much to believe in him in any way. The only thing I could say that was positive is he was the first president that didn't start a war in forever.
Right.
So
during
that's
it,
the only positive. And he talked about pedophilia and going after him, you know, and maybe there was some inroads to that a little bit while he was president. But, you know, other than that, the guy has not stood up to, I mean, you know, he was going to go after the swamp. The swamp got him, you know. Who did he surround himself with? Swamp creatures. All of them around him. His whole cabinet.
Here,
it was a big disappointment.
Here's more background from Tracy. The bill, designed after consultation between Mike Johnson and Trump, mysteriously gives the president the ability to forgive the purported loan to Ukraine immediately after the November election. And if that's not brazen enough for you, here's the catch. The funds eligible for loan forgiveness are the direct budgetary infusions to Ukraine, meaning the money that pays for the salaries of Ukrainian government workers and so forth, not the military aid, which comprises the vast majority of the package. So only $8 billion of the $61 billion allocated to Ukraine is even eligible for loan forgiveness under the terms of this gargantuan bill. And even that was a fake loan to begin with. It never had to be paid back at all. So here's your final Trump-Johnson bamboozle as a House GOP prepares to usher through the largest ever infusion of U.S. tax dollars to Ukraine by far since the beginning of the war, all with Trump's blessing, as Johnson has made abundantly clear. To underscore his close collaboration with Trump, Johnson has spent the past several days making the rounds on various conservative media, touting the inclusion of Trump's loan concept in the bill. Whitney adds, it's all a big shell game, and Trump is playing along with it to improve his political prospects. How else would you explain his performance in this dismal charade. Joaquin, honest to God, it boggles the mind. I am distraught. That's putting it very mildly. Actually, I am sick. This is enough to make me vomit. It's that bad. Over Donald Trump?
Well, if it's any consolation, the military-industrial complex is benefiting by it. You know, a lot of that money's going right back to them.
I know the vast majority of that money sent abroad, whether it's to Israel or to Ukraine or even to Taiwan, comes back to buy U.S. military hardware, which is why they, as I reported yesterday, well, actually, it would have been Friday, are the most powerful lobby pushing for these ongoing wars. The very military industrial congressional complex Eisenhower warned his, about, and an aide told him he better cut out that word congressional because Congress wouldn't like it. Well, I say F them, to hell with Congress. They sold us out a long time ago.
Yes, they did. I mean, America has been the war nation of the world. It's been involved in more wars, I think 93% of its time out of 248 years in existence. We have been killing people on foreign soil, the American soldier. It's a disgrace, actually. And, you know, as you alluded to, military-industrial complex. Look at who owns the military-industrial complex, the banking infrastructure. You know, it's bankers' wars, you know. So, I mean, it never stops, you know. They rule, and they own all the puppet governments. It's the same old game, but it's just more in our face now than ever before.
Well, Gina, I have another report, too, about CIA boasting how they control the media, how they got rid of Tucker, for example. And, you know, can you expand? I know you're aware of some recent developments involving the guy I've been a huge fan of forever. But, I mean, is his standing in jeopardy like that at Trump?
No, I think that... you know, Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson, and even Alex Jones, yes, they do tell the truth a lot of the time. However, I also believe there are taboo topics that they don't touch. And it's usually about the puppet masters. They don't go after them. I constantly focus on that. Everything is just a screen, a smoke screen, unless you're talking about the ones that are pulling all the strings. But I just wrote an article, and I sent it out to you today, on a conversation that Tucker Carlson had with Joe Rogan. And I admire both of those guys. And he actually made the point. Tucker apparently had a congressman in his kitchen in a conversation. You know, he's friends with a lot of the politicians. And he actually became very upset because it's just dawning on Tucker Carlson that all these politicians are owned by, he said, the intelligence services. They are ready to threaten any politician that votes against war, against, basically, they must vote against the interests of Americans and vote in the interests of the globalists. And they use the intelligence, CIA, Mossad, MI6, those guys, to basically be the henchmen, the mafia henchmen that come in and threaten, and they say, Tucker Carlson is saying, that they will either actually expose them for maybe being compromised in some kind of pedophilia operation, or actually even plant install kiddie porn on their computers. This is what Tucker is saying. So they're all afraid, all the politicians are afraid to vote in the interest of the American population, and they're all traitors voting because they're afraid of these intelligence services that are going to come down and ruin their careers. And there's probably a lot of truth to that, because I've been saying a long time that the intelligence services are basically the coordinators of all the global child sex trafficking operations in all the countries. I did two books on UK. UK, their MI6 is involved in every single pedophilia scandal. And you better believe that the CIA and Epstein and Maxwell and the MI6 and Mossad, they're all in it together. Those are intelligence operations to basically get the goods, the dirty goods, on all the politicians so that they will then be puppets and do what they're told, or they will be exposed and ruined. And that's the name of the game. And it's been that way a long time. But on this interview with Joe, he was like all upset, like he just found out. You know, I mean, it was like amazing. The guy's been in the Beltway, living there and living amongst these guys. They're his friends. And it's like he's just, you know, the bell goes off. Oh, this guy told me. So anyway, the guy that was in his kitchen, that's some politician that's probably in the intelligence committee, basically when he said, yeah, they're all afraid, they're being threatened by the intelligence services, the politician there said, yeah, I know. You know, like, yep, you're not telling me anything. But it's like, I've been writing about this for 10 years, you know? I mean, come on. Everybody knows that the pedophilia operations are what controls all the governments. That's why they're always at war. That's why they're always not voting in the interest of the people. I mean, it's the same old story over and over.
Well, Keenan, it has baffled me from the beginning why anyone would want to have sex with children. I mean, to me, that's just disgusting. If a woman is an adult and in possession of her faculties and wants to have sex with me, I don't get the point. Otherwise, it's some variation on coerced involvement of sexual intercourse. I mean, it's grotesque to me. The very idea is repulsive. Why are they drawn to this?
Well, I mean, supposedly there might be up to 5% of the population that are basically pedophiles, that do have an attraction for younger children. However, many of these politicians, they're coerced into it. They go to these parties. They have all kinds of stuff they put in the alcohol where they pass out. They're put in on a bed with a child and the camera's going. That was the Epstein operation, basically. And it's still going. He may not be gone or whatever, but pedophilia operations are still going on strong. That's why that southern border, they're coming in. They lost 85,000. The woman from HHS said, you know, she was a whistleblower and was saying, yeah, they bring them in across the border and they lose them. They put them with sponsors that are basically part of the pedophilia operation. It's a big scam, and they're making big bucks off it. But yeah, some of them are coerced into it through trickery and like that, and others are actually into this deviant, very sick crap that they're actually engaged in. But it's such a big operation, money-wise. I mean, that's how the banks, all the big banks, you know? I mean, we're talking about, what, J.P. Morgan, you know, the basically one of the Rothschild banks in America. J.P. Morgan is involved in 13 years. They were the bank for Epstein. And then, you know, we have banks in Germany, the central banks. They're all involved. All the biggest banks in the world are getting all kinds of huge amounts of revenue through child sex trafficking, sex trafficking, drug trafficking. They've been involved in all the organized crime. They work together with organized crime, and they make huge amounts on black ops revenue, you know, pushing kids and putting them in front of cameras with politicians to own them. It's the same old story going on for many, many years. It was almost a joke to see, you know, this little naive Tucker Carlson. You think he's been around the block a few times, but he actually was like, he said, I was so upset when this politician was in my kitchen and blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, like it's all news to this guy. I mean, it's amazing to me that he pretends or is so naive that he finally gets it. I just wrote an article and I said, well, I've been screaming from the rooftops about all this for many, many years now and writing about it and 5 books worth of it. And thanks to your suggestion, by the way, James. And basically, it's common knowledge at this point. You know, when I started writing those books in 2017, it was still kind of a taboo topic. But I made the point. I said, well, at least when Tucker Carlson and Joe Rogan are openly addressing the pedophilia operation and how all the politicians are puppets because of it, maybe now, finally, a lot more people will pay attention and realize that all, particularly in the West, they're all bought and sold, not as much in the East, but they are to a great extent, too. It is a global problem. So yeah, I mean, I'm glad that they had this conversation and it came out, that they have the power over all these politicians that, you know, allow themselves to be jeopardized and compromised.
What is the, psychodynamics of pedophilia, Joaquin? Why would older adult males want to have sex with little kids? I mean, to me, it's just beyond comprehension. Can you elaborate?
Well, normal, decent people, no, it's real hard to wrap your head around it and in some way, you know, think, well, it's just, to me, it's like there are certain, just like there's diseases, brain, mental disorders, and of course, it is a mental disorder. And, you know, a certain percentage of the body. But however, I must say that with all the wokeism and the transgender movement, it has only increased, I believe. I mean, 1 out of 3 young people. That Z generation that's born around the turn of the century, this century, 1 out of 3 now is basically identifying as non-binary. 1 out of 3. That doesn't mean that, you know, that they're going to be pedophiles. However, all of this and this whole, you know, LGBTQ plus all non-binary, all that. That's all basically a globalist psyops to brainwash and program and socially engineer the minds of many younger generations now. And apparently it's working. 1 out of 3 of the Z generation now are non-binary. That's pretty. I mean, you're born with either one sex or the other. There's no such thing as non-binary. It's a delusion, a mental illness, a Munchausen by proxy that's been put in their brain to be psychotic. And yet, millions of people, particularly amongst the younger generations, have succumbed to this mental illness where they're psychotic about this. And I've also said that, I mean, not only is it socially engineered by the elites that are doing all the wars and the rest of it and all that, but they're also normalizing pedophilia in the process under the coattails of basically homosexual rights, and then it becomes LGBTQ plus rights, and it's also normalizing the pedophilia. So it's a diabolical, demonic game that's being put over the human population to totally contaminate, to get people so that they have no moral compass between right and wrong, and to succumb to...
Charles, well, I'm on the air. I'll call you when I get a break.
You know, that's kind of the way it's looking. They basically have decided that what they call a moral relativism, where what might be considered immoral to one person is considered moral, and so you always have to take it into this relative comparison and not pass judgment. No, I'm sorry. There is right and wrong. And wrong is when you're having sex or inappropriately touching a child. That messes people up. I worked with pedophilia victims for over 20 years, and it messes people up for life. It's a curse against the person that is victimized by this. So, yeah, I mean, that's why I've been so dedicated to try and put the word out there for all these years.
Well, it seems to me, Joaquin, this whole transgender gay business is all part and parcel of cultural Marxism, intend to turn our values inside out, taking down the statues, opening the borders, not enforcing the laws, creating chaos. You know, then they want to rebuild a society that's totally egalitarian, no recognition of merit or accomplishment, no private property. In other words, I think it really is a transition to a communist society where everything is as homogeneous, as uniform as it can possibly be. And it's going to be a boring society, but that's not the least of it. We'll return to this topic with Joaquin Agopian right after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites.
The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Listen, Joaquin, you're the perfect guy to discuss this with. I feel that Barack Obama and Michelle, Michael LaVon Robinson, who's a man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill, are very much behind the perversion of American society because they want to feel normal. In America of the past, they'd be regarded as freaks, as aberrant, as abnormal. I think they want to change it. I think they're part and parcel of the whole movement toward transgender, promoting all this heavy horse shit, destroying women and girls' sports by allowing men to compete. There was a recent race, a long-distance race, and there was one transgender, and he beat the women by hundreds of yards. Now, what sense does that make in this life? You know, we all rejoice when women's sports began to get the same kind of federal funding or recognition, you know, that men's sports have always enjoyed, and now they're going about destroying it. I mean, the damage to young girls and women, it's just grotesque. I would like your thoughts, because I, honest to God, believe that Michael and Barack are very much at the heart of this and a moving force behind it.
Yeah, I would say that they're up front with it as much as anybody. So basically, like what we were talking about, the whole contamination of morality, they're all part of the whole stage scene. And what you alluded to about women's sports now, it's just horrible that if you're a girl and it's like you know that you're going to lose and not be able to compete against these guys that they're allowing in, what kind of incentive are girls and women going to have if they know that they're going to not win or have a chance? It's just totally a travesty of justice, and a lot of athletic girls are probably not going to even compete anymore. It's a whole scam. I mean, every part of our society has been attacked by this whole kind of communist, Marxist, wokeism, morality, upside down. Everything's an abomination. It's appalling. We see the degeneration on so many levels. It's just horrific. That's all I can say. I mean, it's just, along with all the rest of it, it's just very sad.
Would you agree with me that we are in the midst of a cultural Marxist revolution, that this is all deliberately designed to turn America inside out, to destroy us as a nation, as a sovereign nation, taking guns away, an indispensable part of it? They don't want us to be able to resist.
Yeah. It's interesting because this whole scheme of basically going after the structure of our society and attacking basically the family unit, the marriage between man and woman, this is all under attack with this barrage of wokeism that we're being forced upon by basically the cultural Marxist movement, which is basically the globalists. They're pulling all these strings of social engineering. And it's interesting, though, that way back in 2 months prior to the Declaration of Independence in 1776 on, of all days, May Day, May 1st, 1776, there's a guy named Adam Weishaupt, who is the founder of the Bavarian Order of the Illuminati in Germany. And he was also a Jesuit. He was also a Jew. And he founded the Illuminati in 1776, along with his financial benefactor, who was Amschel Rothschild, who also lived in Bavaria, Germany, and was the banker in 1776, who had the sons that he sent out throughout Europe to open the banks of all the European central banks. Anyway, and that came in the late 1700s and early 1800s when that happened. So anyway, Adam Weishaupt and Rothschild wrote all the obstacles that will be impediments to one world government. We're talking 1776. That's a long time ago. They had their eye on one world government as an Illuminati order in Bavaria, Germany. And what they came up with are the family unit. They need to break down the family unit and make the state the family controller and break up the families. They also were, as a big obstacle, came up with private property. They wanted to get rid of private property. We're talking 1776. Break up the family unit, no private property. Also the enemy, Christianity. They also were able to identify that as an obstacle to one world government. This is 1776 with the Rothschilds and Adam Weishaupt and the Illuminati. And guess what? It looks like they're getting what they wanted all these years later.
Keith Rogers, who frequently co-hosts with me on Mondays, has sent a link to play right now. Let me see what we got here.
Be with us as we offer up a prayer for the end of white supremacy.
I want people to come into our country in the largest numbers ever.
An unrelenting stream of immigration. Non-stop. folks like me who were Caucasian of European descent, for the first time in 2017, we'll be in an absolute minority in the United States of America.
Replacement conspiracy theory.
Absolute minority. Fewer than 50% of the people in America from then and on will be white European stock.
You know, he wanted me to play that because he believes there's a strong anti-white aspect to all of this. In fact, we have him here right now, joining us now. As soon as he shows, give us your thoughts. How much of this is anti-white walking? It seems to me an awful lot of it.
Yeah, well, you know, they've had a plan, basically, to replace the white majority population, the Christian majority population, and it's all part of that process. Overload the system by bringing in all these other, have a cultural and racial warfare going on. And this, of course, is going on in the two wealthiest continents on this earth to destroy them, Europe and North America. And it's all done by the globalists. It's another scheme to destroy the West, because the West, large middle classes that are shrinking very quickly now, are the biggest obstacle. We're talking about obstacles to one world government. Well, a large middle class that has enjoyed a constitutional level of liberty and freedom for a long time might present the biggest obstacle to one world government. So what do? You destroy the West that has the largest middle classes, get rid of the white population, overload it with other foreign culture populations, overload the system, crash and burn the governments, bring the wars on, crash the economy, make sure that there's food shortages, make sure that people can't afford to pay rent or pay for gas and fuel shortages, start the war so that the oil prices and gas prices are out of reach so people can't be mobile. It's the recipe for disaster that we're seeing now right before our eyes. And you know, it looks like it's just going to come down to the people to rise up against or genocide of the human race, because that ultimately is their agenda, depopulation of the human race.
Keith, you sent the link. Do you think that Trump favors open borders, notwithstanding all of his pretenses to the opposite?
Well, I mean, you know, he did take some measures that were a little bit of resistance towards the invasion. But you can't trust anything this guy says now, because he's betrayed on many levels many times.
Keith Rogers is joining us now. Joaquin, Keith, your thoughts on the very same issue?
Yeah, I follow trends, as you know. But anyway, when Trump went to China, he had to meet with all his corporate buddies first. And I understand that, you know, the United States is a federal corporation. However, within those corporations, you have to make sure you have slave labor. Now, I've always been pro-union. John Stadtmiller and those guys like that weren't pro-union.
Bill, I'm still on the air.
In those days, we used to have 40 hours a week. Paid health care, overtime, sick leave, pregnancy leave, paid two-week vacations. And when they allowed China into the WTO through Reagan and then Clinton, they destroyed our labor market, thus sending our jobs through NAFTA and other things that Lou Dobbs used to warn us about overseas, Mexico, to have all of our products made by slave labor to where they didn't have to pay all that union wages and such. No benefits whatsoever. So when you hear Donald Trump and Joe Biden say, you know, that we need a steady flow of immigration and stuff, which is why we have this coming across the border and stuff, Remember, Trump had increased the green card allotment from India 45%. And so whenever you call on the phone to any corporation, you're always getting someone to, very good. It's always someone from another country you're talking to. And of course, it's almost like you want to press one over him, because half the time you can't even understand who you're talking to because their dialect is so screwed up like that. You have to have them repeat it, you know. But they need a massive flow of immigration. And
why, Keith? Why do they need a massive flow of immigration?
Because they are not going to pay the wage.
They only need a massive flow if they want to get cheap labor. I mean, F them. To hell with that.
I realize that, Jim, but what are they teaching? I'll give you a great illustration. You hear your politicians talking about the Chinese. They're coming here and they're going through the best school systems in the world like that. Then they're going home and doing what? They're engineers. They're building massive bridges, railroads, all this stuff. And what are they doing here? Anal sex 101. How to teach your children how to masturbate.
The Chinese?
No. That's what they're teaching American students.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in China, they're graduating engineers. This is a deliberate destruction of America. They want a weakened, dumbed-down population to where no one can get anywhere. And like I say, when they down in California right now, when they raise the minimum wage to $20 an hour, what they do? Well, they're clearing it all out. They're putting in robots now because they're not going to pay the American workers a workable wage.
It's just absurd. Hey, Joaquin, please comment on Keith's observations. And I have two other developments that seem to me to be very striking. We have the collapse of a dam in Russia, which I suspect to be sabotage. And we have a munitions plant in the UK and here in the United States both being destroyed. I mean, are we already at war with Russia? Because that's sure how it looks to me. I believe this is a CIA op to take out the dam and Russian retaliation to blow up these munition plants. Your thoughts?
Yeah, we've been at World War III now for a while. It's a hybrid war where asymmetrical things like, you know, infrastructure damage, you know, the cyber kind of infrastructure damage, things are going down all the time on the cyber world. There's a lot of warfare going on that isn't military, and that's, I believe, the munition factories, both in the Russia and in America, going on almost around the same time. It's highly suspicious. Yes, we are at World War III, and I believe also the military war will be following soon.
Keith.
Yeah. Did you get the earlier links I sent you about the military?
Just go ahead and tell us.
Okay. Let me enlarge my screen here. The 101st Special Purpose Brigade, they are in Ukraine right now. I have a video that I sent out earlier showing a U.S. soldier with all the Ukraine insignia on it, but it's also got the Special Brigade patch with the American flag. It's a black U.S. soldier. Anyway... Well, They're in Ukraine. So if this is openly on Telegram right now, you know that the Russians know this. And so basically, as your other guest was saying, we're at war.
Yeah, I think that's right. And they're going to be killed just as all these Ukrainians have been killed. Joaquin, I mean, I think this is just a colossal act of stupidity, sending good money after bad, as we're now doing on a massive scale with Trump support, sad to say. But also the Russians are used to killing Ukrainians, and they can kill French, they can kill British, they can kill U.S. just as well. They are the best military in the world today. And the idea we think we can send in some troops and make a difference is rubbish, complete nonsense, a delusion. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, I mean, there's no chance that the West will ever beat Russia in Ukraine or anywhere in Europe. No, there's no chance. As you said, Russia has the best military, the strongest military, the most advanced weaponry. They're joining up, as Scott Ritter was saying earlier. They're very patriotic there because they see that they're threatened by the West. The West has had a whole policy of provocation, poking the bear to try and get a larger war, world war going. And they are in a situation for their life, for survival. But they will prevail. And, of course, they got allies. China, which is also a very strong military. What do we have? We have Lloyd Austin that mandated kill shots that killed thousands and maimed thousands of soldiers. We don't have a military. We have a woke military where the Ishis are walking around in dresses in the mess hall. They pay attention to all these DEI, diversion, inclusion bullshit, rather than focusing on the self-defense of our nation. It's all by design. Everything we're seeing is by design by the globalists that want to bring the West, and America in particular, into combustion destruction. That's what's happening now. We're seeing it right before our eyes. Yeah. Every week it's getting worse and more evident.
I couldn't agree more. What's gut wrenching to me is a guy I thought it could lead us out of the morass turns out to be a phony, a fraud, a piece of shit. I am disillusioned, Keith. I don't know if you heard. I don't know if you heard, but Donald Trump was involved in getting this massive bill passed to give more money to Ukraine and to Israel. I mean, he has sold us out.
You know, $4 billion of that bill went to the NGOs to help immigration.
Yeah, it's not securing the border at all.
You know, that's why Marjorie Taylor Greene has commented on that.
I know, she's wonderful.
Yeah, out of all the people that would not sign it, they didn't sign it because it didn't include anything with the U.S. border. But that's only the only clause they said it because it didn't do anything with the U.S. border. Otherwise, they would have signed it.
That's pretty pathetic.
Yeah. What I see right now, like Poland today announced that they want nukes in Poland.
Yeah.
That's right on Russia's border. So if people don't see it, remember... Biden ordered almost $290 million worth of anti-radiation pills. Did you get yours yet in the mail?
I don't think they're coming to ordinary Americans. Do you?
No, but I'll tell you what. If you want some fun, Jim, just for kicks, there's a site called U.S. Nuke Map. You can select your city of whatever you want, like, say, Washington, D.C., a 20-megaton blast and what it does over there. But this is what we're headed for, because Medvedev has already made his comment today about Polson and their nukes and stuff. We see the same thing with – oh, by the way, I should interject that, because at the beginning of your show you were talking about Iran. Iran was also in Pakistan this week, or just yesterday there. Pakistan is the one that told Turkey and Iran that they would freely give them a nuclear weapon if they needed it. And we already have Erdogan over there in Turkey that has said that they're not afraid of Israel's nukes and they know what they have and stuff.
Erdogan, Keith, has sold out. He's all talk. He's all hat, no cattle. He's a phony. He's just as phony as Trump. Joaquin, would you agree?
Yeah. He switches every other day, going back and forth, playing both sides. That's his M.O. You know,
they won't sanction Israel. The countries that are. You know what gets me about this entire thing, you guys, is all over the world, what right now down there in Balasano down there has millions, over 2 million people at his beck and call, we'll call it. But they're tired of it. Lula has basically sold out their country. The globalists, people are getting tired of the globalists. But what gets me is all over the world, you have tens and tens of thousands and city after city after city. And, of course, here, what they do is they take the pro-Palestinian and they relabel them as pro-Hamas. And that way you get your Israelification of the U.S. law enforcement, go out there and bust heads. Remember, in New York, when they got that college tent sit-in, whatever it is right now. New York police are out there trampling on those guys. Well, remember, the NYPD opened a branch over in Tel Aviv years ago. The entire U.S. government has been taken over. And it's like listening to E. Michael Jones discuss about this Jewish power and stuff like that. And this doesn't denote the honest, normal Jews, just like you and I, all this stuff like that, you know. They're the ones that yesterday there were so many protesting out front of the Knesset over in Israel. Now, whether or not it was because they want their prisoners back or whether they want the war to end. But every time that the biggest joke was, yeah, the U.S. sends humanitarian aid just after they send more bombs. But see, people all over the world are realizing that no matter what they say, their governments don't give a damn. They're just going to do it everywhere. Just like, what's her name? Irma Bombeck, whatever the hell her name is over in Germany. She says, we're going to do this regardless whether the German people like it or not. This is outright fascism. Well, I don't think it gives people much of a choice for this so-called voting season. My mom always used to say, if you have to choose between two evils, you're still picking evil.
Well, how much choice do we have? I mean, this is a real predicament. What can we do at this point? Biden is insufferable and grotesque. Trump, it appears, is not much better, but I don't see how we can fail to accept someone that is somewhat better, even if only marginally. First, Keith, and then Joaquin. Go ahead, Keith.
I think the only way to do this is to, and I don't know how many people you can get on board to do this, but they're trying to bring in their new world order, their central bank digital currency. The only thing to do would be just boycott it. You'd have to have people.
Yeah. What does that mean, Keith? Boycott it.
Stand by.
We got a break. We'll be right back with Joaquin Agopian and Keith Rogers. Stand by, and we'll take your calls.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I am going to open the lines to callers, but I must admit I'm having trouble connecting. Both Keith and Joaquin tried to call in and connect, and I couldn't connect either. The number, 608-957-8727, 608-957-8727. You're welcome to call and join the conversation. Joaquin, your further thoughts about any and all of the above?
Everything we're seeing is basically saying the same thing. They are intending to destroy the West and bring in their one world government, the whole digital ID and the mandate, killer shots, more bioweapons, more of all the same. Weapons of mass destruction to destroy the human race. They do not want a carbon-based planet. They're going for a silicon-based planet, basically barren, terraformed planet, geoengineered with heavy toxic metals. It's basically destroying the habitat for all human and plant and animal life. That's what it's all about. They want transhumanism, part machine, but maybe a little bit of human left, but it's mostly controlled by robotics. They don't need people anymore. Okay. AI and the demons have taken over.
Somebody tried to call. Go ahead, try to call again. I'll see if I can bring you in. I'm sorry I missed you. You know, this goes against evolution. I mean, it's not sustainable. You cannot change Earth from a carbon base to a silicon base. Ludicrous beyond words. We do have a caller. Oh, Jim. Yeah, go ahead, Keith, and then we'll get our caller in. Go ahead.
I got one real fast. Earlier you were talking about the ammo dumps, which was the supply of 155-millimeter shells. We also have the U.S. Navy programs that face years-long delay over labor and supply woes. You have all these countries right now that are having people picketing in front of all the arms manufacturers. As I was talking about earlier, boycott, the only way to do this, basically, is to shut the banking system down, because if they can't finance their wars, that's it. So I'm looking at this in a realistic term like that. That's why you've heard all these economic economists say that get your money out of the bank, because they're going to implode it anyway. The fastest way to do it would be to sit there and do it yourself, is to get your money out of the bank. They won't have no working revenue. So, again, when you hear your own country say that, yeah, all this money going to Ukraine actually stays here because it's building American jobs. And where's the conscience of Americans to know, as you watch these fields and fields of dead Ukrainian soldiers piling up and stuff, you know, where's their morality on that? And even today, I think it's interesting that Lincoln is thinking of charging, or let me say this right, the Israeli minister warns U.S. against sanctioning the IDF battalion over the human rights violation. And this goes, and listen close, this is what happened a week before October 7th, is where the Israelis went through this one town over there. I can't pronounce it. But anyway, so Netanyahu comes out there and says, sanctions against our soldiers is a red line. Then the Minister of Defense says it must immediately support this Netanyahu. He wrote on social media, the U.S. website Axios reported that the Secretary of State Anthony Blinken would announce sanctions against the Israeli Defense Forces. This controversial unit is basically a kill squad.
Keith, we're getting way astray from what I want to focus upon. Okay. Let me see, we got area code 816. Caller, join the conversation.
Yeah, when he was talking about shutting down the Federal Reserve, there was an organization called NorFed. I don't know if it was the 80s or 90s, and they were organized and they were trying to shut down the Federal Reserve, and they all got arrested. Their headquarters got broken into. The FBI confiscated all their computers, and we don't hear anything about NorFed anymore. But anyway, what I wanted to point out is what's going on right now. I think we're kind of seeing the end of everything. Okay, the dark. They're in a poker game, and they pushed all in because what we've got going on is, if you get out your satanic Bible, okay, 419, April 19th is the first day of the satanic child sacrifice ritual. And if you look through history, Waco was on 419, Oklahoma City 419, Columbine 420, Virginia Tech, Boston Marathon, South Korean Seoul Ferry, killing 311 people. There's significance to 311. Freddie Gray riots, Baltimore, Notre Dame fire, Copenhagen fire. All of these things, you know, are going on now. So they did a huge Black Sun ritual earlier. When we had the eclipse. And so now this is the second part of it. And what I think they're doing is they're trying to get where we're part of this World Health Organization thing, to everybody has to have a digital passport. You can't travel. Yeah, everybody's going to have to get their shots.
Brian, yeah. We're talking about the WHO, that we got this worldwide treaty that's going to enable them to run the governments of all the countries. We know that's bad. It's very bad.
I'm sorry.
Well, go ahead if you have a point. Make it be concise.
Well, yeah, I mean, we'll know. If all of these things don't happen, then we'll know that they weren't able to complete what they were looking at, and then we're going to start seeing some real collapse of them. Their whole network, everything is going to start collapsing, and we'll get our freedom and things will be better. And I'm thinking we'll get the second case. So anyway.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for.
I'm not at all sure what to make. I mean, how do you put an optimistic spin on the calamity we confront today, Joaquin? Your thoughts?
Well, things are breaking down. I think we can all agree on that. But as that happens, yes, I do believe that more and more people are finally getting it. Not everybody is totally oblivious to the destruction that's going on. It's all before our eyes, and it's getting worse every week. So more and more people are going to realize that yeah, the government is out to kill us. They're not our friend. They are our enemy. And the people that are controlling the government are the source of the problem. They are our common enemy. And it's basically about the people, enough of us people realizing that we must unify and be mass non-compliant all over the earth together. And I believe that it is possible that we can overcome. Yes, there's going to be a lot of casualties in this war. Basically, a war to stay alive as a human race. There's going to be a lot of casualties. There already have been. But I believe that as time gets harder, there will be more and more people that will be opposing the system that is out to depopulate the planet.
Yeah, you know what's waking people up, Jim, is, as your caller just mentioned, all these April dates. Well, what happened 2 days ago? Well, they signed this Ukrainian bill. That's how fast time's going, right? What's weird, though, is they signed that on Adolf Hitler's 165th birthday. That woke a lot of people up, especially when you're throwing aid at Ukraine and you've got Nazis parading around and you've got veterans that are having their loved ones' graves, or the families of veterans that are having their loved ones' graves pissed on by their own government who fought the Nazis. And that's what they're doing. But the only problem is, though, is like Vladimir Putin says, here you have a Jewish president of the Ukraine that's leading a band of Nazis. Doesn't this man know his own history? Why is a Jew leading Nazis over the Ukraine?
Yes.
I know why.
So, more and more people are waking up to the, and a lot of the symbology like that. And also, I should say, usually most wars start in either April or March, but they do go into May, and that's when the big stuff is, because that's when the ground and stuff starts drying out.
Brian, give us your thought.
Well, the other thing is, today is the day they sacrificed the red heifer. And that red heifer came from Texas, where the eclipse went through. And I know a lot of you guys don't believe all this ritual stuff, but it can work. I played around with it and had supernatural stuff happening that I won't talk about because you'd never believe me. But that's why you always see on the Wailing Wall, they're always chanting, because they'll bring in their demons. And when they chant, they get a larger demon in, basically, and then they try and affect things. And they use energy from such things, you know, anything that causes pain and suffering on the planet, they harvest that energy and then use it for these rituals. And it always involves chanting. That's why you'll never see chanting in the churches, because they know that has power. That's why the Hope Diamond is at the Smithsonian, because it was stolen from Buddhist monks or whatever in Tibet or whatever, and they were so mad they chanted on that diamond, and everyone who touched it died. Okay, and I can give all kinds of instances of that throughout history, but people don't put two and two together. So that's what they're doing. They're doing a lot of chanting right now. So.
Yeah, count me a skeptic, Brian. You know I'm a skeptic. I'm not only an
agnostic, I know you are.
A lot of this stuff about chanting and, you know, Hope Diamond and all that, I regard as utter bullshit. I'm open to the possibility, but honest to God, I think it's far-fetched. Joaquin, what are your thoughts about stuff? Hang on, Brian.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I give you the opportunity. I give you the opportunity to do your song and dance, right?
I cut down. I shut off. So,
stand by, Joaquin.
Well, there are secret societies, the Freemasons, the Jesuits, and all the rest of them, the Malthus Knights, and they're all part of the whole pedophilia trafficking globally. And they do their occult rituals, and I suppose they do a certain chanting in there to invoke basically interdimensional forces, actually, into their occult rituals. And they engage in the bloodbaths and the satanic sacrifices and all of that. And I've written extensively about all that crap. But that's for real. And a lot of the elite belong to them. As a matter of fact, one of the greatest directors, I believe, was murdered. And that was 2001 Space Odyssey director. He did, Eyes Wide Shut. And he was still filming, editing the filming process when he was actually murdered for exposing these kind of occult rituals.
And, of course, we're talking about Stanley Kubrick. Now, Joaquin, my view would be there is no Satan, there is no God, there is good and evil. And there are plenty of people who believe in Satan and believe in God, and they do acts on the basis of the beliefs, which is really, in my opinion, what matters and how we can understand the world, not because of a reality or truth of their belief, although many fervently believe it. And I grant, being an agnostic, I'm not among them. Your thoughts?
Well, I believe in God, and I basically against all the evil in this world. That's why I write what I write, because I'm trying to tell the truth so that enough people can get the information by which they can arm themselves with the truth and make the choices to basically not follow through with being afraid and basically complying with all the dictates that are out to harm us.
Keith.
Well, as I brought to you before, Jim, remember, and I know you're agnostic there, but if we have a certain entity that wants to go by scripture, that's fine. Like the Israelites, remember in Leviticus 26:9-15, it talked about God's chosen people, the nation of Israel. And this covenant that God made with the Israelites was conditional. It was said, if you keep my commands. In Hebrews 8:17-13, it says where God revoked all that because they would not follow his commands. And then, of course, that came the Savior, which would be Christ. They rejected the Christ, and the sacrifice of bulls, all this stuff, became non-existent. It was an abhorrence to God's eyes that anyone would sit there and do that after he gave them their son and they rejected him. So anyway, that's that part of it. When you hear them talk about wanting to destroy Amalek and stuff, well, there's plenty of videos on BitChute. We're all Amalek to them. They talk about us worshiping idols.
Yeah. Stuff.
Well, they worship their calves. The whole thing is so screwed up. My biggest thing I've ever done in my life, Jim, is stay away from organizations. That includes religious organizations. That 1996 thing from the Senate, where it was an intel report that the CIA has infested every single religion, journalist thing like that, Everything is so co-opted. That's why the churches get their tax exemption there. Even now we have a Church of Satan. So if you donate to the Church of Satan, where does that money go? Is it going to God or to Satan? This is so absurd. It's pathetic like that. Men have free will. Jim, when you wake up in the morning, you choose to do good. I choose to do good. Everyone else chooses to do good. But there's those out there, like a paid mercenary, which will come up from Latin America and go clear the Ukraine to kill other people. It doesn't do anything him for any better. He's a paid mercenary, a paid assassin. And they're not fighting for their freedoms. The soldier today is fighting for the new world order because they can't have a world government until they get all these governments all together. And that's what they're really pushing for.
Okay, Keith, I want you to just say what you think we can do about all of this.
I think the financial system is going to have to collapse to bring it all down.
Well, look, that's going to happen regardless. And it's got nothing to do with Americans pulling their money out of the banks. The financial system is guaranteed.
When it does collapse, Jim, when it does collapse, you're going to see tens of millions of people out in the street. That's what's going to motivate people, because these governments are going to realize that they're a target. It ain't going to matter how long their gates are in front of the White House or stuff like that. We see this all over. All these governments have erected these moats around their political establishment. Okay. They know what's coming.
Okay, Joaquin, your thoughts.
Noncompliance, that's the only way. Yeah, we must unite with noncompliance.
What does that mean, Joaquin? Translate that.
I mean, when they tell you to wear a mask, it means to go fuck yourself. You're not going to play the game anymore. The overreach of the pandemic has taught us that they want us dead. Millions have died from it. So we just must not follow our government dictates. And
hey, Jim, pull out. Jim, I just did some research.
Keith, I'll come back to you.
Okay.
Go ahead, Joaquin.
Use as much cash as you can. Try and only patronize local establishments. You know, get to know your neighbor. Have some kind of neighborhood watcher groups that you can basically rely upon for independent support against the system that's coming for you. And get your guns ready, because they're going to be trying to take away the guns too. That's one of the big obstacles of America, is that they have more guns than people in America. So yeah, must band together and unite in against this establishment that's out to kill us.
Keith, go ahead then, Brian. Keith.
Oh, yeah, I did some research. I got to 13. 13 states have just opened up, or at least have got received funding. Montana, $17 million for new biolabs. What is this obsession with biolabs? That it was either Boston or Baltimore. They just put a BSL lab right in downtown Boston. Going, who would? Oh, this is for COVID-19, by the way. Who in the hell would put a BSL lab right downtown in a maybe way out in the country in South Dakota or something like that, where there's no humans?
Yeah,
there, you know.
Yeah, but that's.
I think they're gonna. There's something nefarious coming with the bio stuff.
Okay, good. Brian, give us some thoughts.
Yeah, when he mentioned the neighbor, you know, I was tight with my neighbor, but he got the shot and he died. So for me, that's out. No one's moved in there again yet. So anyway, but
did you discourage him from getting the shot?
No, the only way I knew is he put a big sign out in his yard that said, "Get the shot." Okay, we never discussed it because he was more of a liberal. I mean, I liked the guy and we'd talk politics and I'd try and tell him about 9/11. He wouldn't believe me, but he was a good guy. I liked him. But when he got that shot, I knew it wouldn't be long, and it wasn't long. He died, you know, probably, I don't know, a matter of months after he got it. So anyway.
Well, the shot works at different rates. It really destroys your immune system. Pfizer's now admitted it's got nanobots. It'll change your DNA. But the fact is it allows diseases that your immune system may have been dealing with successfully to no longer be able to cope with them, and they thus run amok. And we're getting a epidemic of turbo cancers unseen. We're getting children, young people, teenagers having diseases that heretofore have only afflicted people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. Joaquin, pick up. Further thoughts of yours.
Yeah. Myocarditis, you name it. It's attacking
colon cancer.
And it's not going away because, you know, there's the ones that die immediately after and then ones that die 5 years later from it. So yeah, you just need to stay away. And you know, it does actually. What do they call it when you're in close contact with somebody who's actually been jabbed? It actually can, especially if you're having sex and stuff like that. If it's a partner, sexual partner. It's spreading. Really create. It's destroyed families. It's really a mess. So, yeah, we need to stay away. Those of us who abstain from all that, we need to basically band together. That isn't to say we should shun those that are, you know, horribly affected by it, because I just have sympathy and a lot of sadness for the people that are suffering.
Keith.
Well, that's what I see. You know, since my youth after Vietnam and stuff, what I saw coming back from Vietnam has always been my crutch in life, I guess you call it, but the suffering, whether it's PTSD or what. And what I see now is, we were just talking about, when you get four-year-old kids getting turbo cancers in the colon and stuff, these kids aren't subjected to anything, but you have to think of the pain and suffering. And then if they do link it somehow to these alleged vaccines, because they're experimental, they're not covered under insurance. And that means that the parents and stuff go broke. I personally have a ham radio friend that he got hit in the back of the neck there from a piece of ice that slid off a tin roof like that after he'd shut the door. He was doing, he does this, what do you call it, sticking people with pins, acupuncture. But anyway, 2 weeks later, the pain in his neck was still bad, so he finally went to the doctor, and suddenly he's got cancer. Well, he'd have to, this is what's sad, Jim, he had to sell his house, two vehicles or like that. His copay for one of the prescriptions was $2,000 a month like that. He successfully beat that cancer. To go to Germany, he had to get jabbed, and now he's got massive skin cancers.
Yeah, nice.
So it was all for, but it's, like I say, it's no different than what you see in Gaza right now of children helping to dig out their parents, the immense suffering and pain that people have to go through. And we have people today, well, take them out, finish the job. They don't care. They're satanic. If, you know, if you believe in evil.
Brian, give us your final thoughts.
Well, it maybe would take too long. You better go on. I was going to tell you about what I did with that Channing and actually had an entity show up where I could see him out of my two eyes, and they had two black cube eyes, and that told me they were evil. I thought, I'm not going to play with this stuff anymore.
You convinced me. You convinced me. Joaquin, it's been a joy having you on the show today. I'm so glad. I think you're doing so much good, and your voice is one that needs to be widely heard. Give us your website. Now, Joaquin, go ahead. So now, check the web out.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Thanks, Jim.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
My name is Mr. Rowe,
I am the host of Reality Extraction, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion.